Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And I am delighted to start the show today with a couple of colleagues in the movie critic analysis community. This week is the biggest movie week of the year. And I thought it would be fun to have like a little panel of critics here today to talk about some of the movies that have just opened. A little thing called Star Wars just opened the other day. four, I think, pretty great movies are opening on Christmas Day. There's a lot that's out right now, plenty to talk about. Maybe you at home have questions about movies that are coming out that you've heard about, and maybe you would like to ask a question about it. This is a good time, or maybe you've seen some of them and want to throw your two cents in about some of these. 312-981-7200 is our phone number to call in. We'd love to hear your voice. We love when you text in as well, 312-981-7200. Pamela Powell has been with us before on our Sunday morning show. She is a critic with WCIA-TV and also the Daily Journal and FF2 Media, and one of the most delightful people in the screening room, I will say.
Well, thank you.
It's always nice to see you. Pamela Powell, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And also Chuck Koplinski. Is a film critic, also with WCIA-TV and the Illinois Times and the News Gazette. And Chuck is also a very delightful person as well. Nice to have you both here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Together, they do something called Real Talk with Chuck and Pam. Real, R-E-E-L, Talk with Chuck and Pam. And they talk about the movies. And it's great to have you both here with us today.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Are you exhausted, as I am, with all the new movies? I mean, it's been like 2 and 3 movie days for the last couple of weeks.
It has. I think for the last month, we've just been inundated by new releases and things that we need to be caught up on in time to vote for our respective organizations.
For different organizations and, you know, to review for our viewers, for our listeners, for our jobs, our regular jobs that we do.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but fun. I mean, movies are fun. Yeah. Whether you like them or not, it's a lot of fun to weigh in and talk about them, discuss them with differing opinions, which mine is usually different from his.
Yeah. you both probably also get this. You know, when you've had a hard day, you've had, you know, I had a day a couple of days ago. I had watched 3 movies in a day, and I was like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I watched 3 movies. And, you know, then I'm thinking, well, some people actually have real jobs for a living, have, like, really work for a living. And I'm complaining because I sat on my couch and I watched 3 movies. Like, oh, poor me. I had to watch movies.
We had the same discussion saying, well, we're not out digging trenches. Yeah, so exactly. I think this is kind of cushy.
Yeah, not terrible. Chuck, which ones have you had favorites? Before we talk about the ones that are about to open, mm-hmm. Are there ones that just have completely blown your mind so far this year?
You know, I've been waiting for that. I was waiting and waiting for that, and I finally got it with one of the movies we're going to talk about later with Adam Sandler, The Uncut Gems. Mm. That one knocked me on my heels, and like I say, I know we're going to talk about that, but I think that the studios this year, more than any other year, they always do this, but it seemed this year they really held back on a lot of their quality product, and I was waiting a long time, and it wasn't until about mid-November where I was like, oh, these are the types of things I'm looking for. Like I say, Uncut Gems really stood out for me. And as you pointed out, 1917 was something that really, I thought, lived up to the hype.
Right. Do you have just a title or two? And we'll dig in a little deeper in a couple of minutes. But anything that just really blew your mind so far, Pam?
Two that really had a lot of power and meaning to me were A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks, as well as Dark Waters, Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah.
That really hit home. Both those films did.
Right. I agree with all of those. The other one that really blew my mind, the musical Cats.
In a good way?
But no. No, not at all. Not at all in a good way. All right. Still to come for you, we have the director of what I think will be one of the big movies for 2020, the movie called 1917, director Sam Mendes talking with us a little bit later on. Real Talk hosts Chuck and Pam are with us in studio, and you at 312-981-7200 talking the movies for the holiday weekend. This is one of the busiest movie weekends of the year, the next couple of weeks, the busiest going to movies weeks of the year. There's so much that's out there right now. Did we all like Star Wars? I liked Star Wars. I didn't love Star Wars. I wasn't completely blown away by Star Wars. I gave it a Dean's List B. And it's been getting kind of mixed reviews overall. How did you two fall on Star Wars?
I was disappointed in it. The first trilogy blew me away, and I wanted to be blown away by the supposedly final episode, and I wasn't. They didn't have that charm and that heart and the charisma and the humor that the first three did, and it was a disappointment to me. Yeah. Cinematography and special effects, amazing.
Beautiful, yeah.
But as far as story, depth, connection, just wasn't there for me.
Okay, how about for you, Chuck?
You know, J.J. Abrams was in a no-win situation taking on this film. There was no way he was going to please everyone, or especially the hardcore fans. So I just sat back and had fun with it. You know, I thought that was the original intent of Lucas's films, was to just sit back and have a good time. And for the most part, I thought that it achieved that. There were a couple surprises I thought made sense. Yes, I gasped.
Yes,
one of
did.
Them. You won't let me live that down. But I thought it was just fine. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where I felt with it, too. That I was, as a fan, a lifelong fan, satisfied with the whole thing. I didn't walk out of the theater hating what I had just seen. And, you know, I how much can I nitpick, really? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure I could pick it apart if I wanted to, but I sort of wanted to just enjoy it. And other movies out there to enjoy right now. Jumanji, it's not going to win any Academy
no.
Awards, but it is what it is.
Right.
It's like an hour and a half or whatever it is. It's fun.
It is.
I actually had a good time with its complete silliness.
It is, and that's perfect escapism for this time of year. People are stressed. It's the holiday time. What better film to see than escape into Jumanji? Great, great fun. I really enjoyed that. Like you said, not an Oscar winner, but hey, it's fun.
Yeah, one of the other ones that I really like that's out right now is the murder mystery Knives Out. People are asking me, what can I go see right now? It's like, if you haven't seen Knives Out, it's really fun. It's fun. It's interesting. It's got all the elements that you want, I think.
I sat through that for the third time this week.
Really?
And still, it still works, and I'm picking up little things along the way I didn't pick up the first two times.
Ah.
You know, and I'm glad that some of these year-end polls or awards places are recognizing Rian Johnson for his script, because it is so intricate, but the tone of it. You know, it's making fun of the genre, but it's a great example at the same time. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, that's that wound up in the top five this week, as did Frozen 2, which is hanging in there. And debuting with only... Now, Star Wars made $175 million for its opening weekend. Cats, the musical, made $6 million for the weekend. I can't think of a movie that has been trashed by critics more than this film. It's just a complete mess.
I can't wait to see it. I missed it.
You were supposed to go.
I know. I saw you at the screening before,
right.
And we had fully intended on going, and we had some deadlines we had to meet. There was no way we were going to be able
pass.
To do it. And we took a pass.
You
and
took
as
a
you
pass.
Said, you know, we didn't go on that plane that went down.
So. You're like the people that got to the airport 10 minutes late.
Right.
I was supposed to be on that plane.
But now I have to see
now
it before
curious.
They re-edit it. Yeah.
Now you're curious.
Yeah.
The storyline has always been very challenging for Cats. I don't know how many stage productions I've seen, each time saying, this time is the time I'm going to get it and I'm going to like it. I just haven't understood it all these years. That has never happened yet. I understand the basic storyline that one cat is reborn. It's a story about rebirth, really, but in the most complex and the most difficult way to explain. The songs are pleasant enough, I guess. The storytelling is very troublesome. The editing is a mess. The cinematography is a mess. You know the movies where there's nothing but fast cuts because they don't really want you to concentrate on anything for very long? That's what this movie is.
Wow.
They don't want you to see how bad it is. And I was actually, I was so embarrassed for this really good cast of performers. Poor Idris Elba. I can't look at him the same way again.
Or how about Judi Dench?
Judi Dench is Deuteronomy in the production. She was actually maybe one of the least offensive because she's not, you know, jumping around and hopping around. But poor Taylor Swift, poor James Corden, poor Rebel Wilson, poor Jennifer Hudson. I was embarrassed for all of them.
Wow. So there's not a sense that they knew they were in a turkey, and so that perhaps this could become a camp classic at all?
I'm guessing as of about last Friday at noon, they got some kind of realization.
So did Alba knock himself out of James Bond contention for good now because of this?
I could never, ever imagine ever anybody James Bond who was once in a skin-tight kitty cat suit.
Oh, that's too bad.
I can't imagine that ever happening.
Guy.
Yeah, it's just really a terrible movie. I've gotten some emails from people saying, I went to see the movie and I liked it. And I'm glad if you go and you like it, I'm glad when somebody likes something more than I do. But they went to the director, Tom Hopper, did something that I don't think I've ever heard happen, where a director actually recalls his movie so he can re-edit it, so he can fix it. And that's what they're doing right now. And then digitally, they will put them into theaters as quickly as they can. So some theaters may have the new version right now. Some theaters may have the old version right now. My gut tells me they could edit this until St. Patrick's Day, and it's not going to make a whole lot of difference.
Well, this is its second life, so I guess what do we have,
right?
Nine
seven
lives?
Left?
So, yeah, seven left.
Seven to go. Seven to go.
Unless it earns one extra one, right? And then
Maybe it's the one that earns the additional life. So let's talk a little bit about the movies that are coming out. Christmas Day is, you know, one of the biggest movie days of the year. And you mentioned, Chuck, Uncut Gems, the Adam Sandler movie. I've seen him on every talk show, and I've seen every host of those talk shows say, this is an Adam Sandler like you've never seen before. This is so unlike Adam Sandler. And if you only know Adam Sandler from the Happy Gilmore kind of movies, this is a completely different Adam Sandler you're seeing in this film.
Yeah, I guess the only similarity you can make is that they're both children. I mean, the man at the center of Uncut Gems, Ratner is his name, he really has never grown up. And he's making mistakes left and right. He's always trying to fix things. It's a desperation ploy that he's going through in this. And Sandler just takes this and runs with it. I mean, he's a deplorable guy, but you cannot take your eyes off of him throughout the entire movie. There's an energy there that he has, and it's matched by the Safdie brothers' approach to this. I know some people are going to have a problem with the jittery camera, the quick cutting, the loud soundtrack. And
it's manic, though.
It is manic.
The tone of the movie is very frantic and manic, as is the Adam Sandler character, who is this out-of-control gambler, big talker, constantly gambling away what he does not have. He's got bookies and their goons constantly looking for him, trying to stay one step ahead of everybody. But it's compelling. It's a fantastic performance by Sandler in this movie. Pam, you liked it as well?
No. I think Adam Sandler was incredible. And again, Chuck and I had talked about this, the fact that he is a man child and hasn't grown up, but he is such a despicable character. He never learns from any of his mistakes. He's incredible in this, but that camera, the music overload, everything is so frenetic, nonstop, that I was on edge, which I guess is what the filmmakers want you to be, edge.
Yeah, I like that. I like that it put me on edge
It did. It was a sensory overload to me, and I really struggled with getting through it. But there was something about it. I had to find out what happened in the end and what a satisfying end it was. But it, like Chuck said, you got to have a lot of openness when you're going in to see this movie. This movie is not for everybody. Right. I imagine people will be offended by the language, which
definitely.
I have been known to drop a few of those F-bombs too, but right. this was in and I know. We were
you
inundated.
Hang out, it's because you hang out with too many movie critics.
I guess, yeah.
It's understandable.
But it's overload. Everything is just sensory overload. So for that reason, I struggled with it.
Yeah, it's rated R. I'll talk more about it tomorrow morning on the TV morning news. Along with this movie 1917 that is about to blast onto theater screens, a new version of Little Women that's about to blast onto screens. 3:40, Dean Richards in today for Rob Khan, WGN. You are off to kicking off your holiday celebration. Got some great guests we'll feature on the program for you today. Keep you posted with all the new sports, weather, traffic, all the information that you need at the same time. On my day job, I am a mild-mannered movie critic for a famous morning show here in the Chicago area, the WGN-TV Morning News. Therefore, thought it would be a good idea today to talk about the busiest movie week of the year, the busiest movie day of the year, Christmas Day. Some of the big movies that are coming out. Adam Sandler's Uncut Gems we covered. And I really want to talk about 1917 a little bit. Later in the program, we'll feature my one-on-one conversation with director Sam Mendes, who gave us American Beauty, who gave us Road to Perdition that was mostly shot here in the Chicago area that starred Tom Hanks. And what were the two James Bond movies?
Quantum of Solace.
And
Skyfall.
Skyfall, yeah, he also did, among many other films. I think he's a pretty good director. with this movie, he takes on the subject matter of World War One, which we don't really get very many movies about World War One. We haven't really seen very much of it. But he told me that he was inspired by his grandfather. His grandfather used to tell him stories of when he fought in World War One and what it was like, and he thought it would be an interesting movie. And this is the story of two soldiers who are given the assignment of carrying a message across enemy lines, German enemy lines. It's practically sure death to go across the enemy lines, but they must deliver the message. Otherwise, 1,600 soldiers are going to fall into a trap. So can they make it across these lines? Really is the basic storyline of this whole thing. But to me, I mean, it was so visceral and raw and exciting to watch it, but also very personal at the same time. I'm always a little amazed at huge movies, huge big storylines that captivate you with something small. And it's the relationship of these two soldiers and a few other little storylines along the way that grab you. And I just loved it. This very well, I haven't really decided yet, but this could wind up being my number one movie of the year. That's how much I loved it.
Wow.
How do you guys fall on 1917?
Well, technically, it's unreal. I mean, I know he wants to do this as an unbroken shot as they're trying to deliver this message. And I was so curious as to how they pulled that off, the choreography of it. I mean, that camera is constantly moving and right. following these guys, and you're right there with them every step of the way.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it's filmed as though it is one continuous flowing shot from beginning to end. And I think that's why you become so mm-hmm. engaged with these two guys, because you are with them
right.
on the journey across the battlefield of corpses and through barbed wire and through trenches and through awful. You are with them all the way. And Chuck, like you, I said, how did he shoot yeah. this? Yeah. How did he do this?
It did. It felt seamless. After about 5 or 10 minutes, I looked at my watch because I didn't see one cut. And I think it was a good, 30, 40 minutes before there was an explosion where there was a cut. That to me was just incredible. Technically, how do you maintain that? And you're right, you do feel like you're walking right next to them and you are experiencing everything that they are. So for that aspect, it was incredible. One of the things I loved about this movie, and you said, you know, we don't see that many movies about World War One. Chuck and I started discussing what was World War One even about, and I am remiss to say that my history knowledge isn't as good as it should be. So we started looking up all this information, and it really
trenches.
Incited
it was
trench
about
warfare.
Yeah,
we
the war of
oh
trenches.
My
trenches. Yeah, we couldn't figure out how did they build these trenches, which were so extensive, as the war was going on. I mean, how did this work? And I think that's the sign of a good historical film. You want to do, you learn more afterwards. And we did that research, and it was just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it's just beautifully shot. I think the bigger the screen that you can see this movie on, the more you'll love it. Sam Mendes says he doesn't want people to focus on the fact that it's one continuous shot. So you shouldn't notice that. You should only be focused on the story. I don't know how you can't be focused on that. It's technically, it's amazing. The two young performers, two British actors, relatively unknown, are the two stars of this movie. They're great. Benedict Cumberbatch is in the movie, small role. Colin Firth is in the movie, small role. It's really quite spectacular. It's a Christmas Day opening, I'll tell you more about that on the news tomorrow morning as well.
A little interesting tidbit is Stollenbread, which is given on Christmas Day. It's a British bread. I guess it actually started off as a German bread, and they called a truce during World War I on Christmas Day in 1914 or 1915 to exchange this bread with each other. The two opposing sides of
really?
The Really? So if you have Stollenbread in your tradition, maybe a German tradition in your family or British,
and you hate somebody,
you know, call a truce here, people. Just go knock on a door and deliver
some Stollenbread.
Dig a
trench over to your neighbor's house.
Make the water flow into their yard instead of yours.
Pull the barbed wire down for one day and go deliver a Stollenbread.
Right.
3:49, Dean Richards and Perot, WGN. Tomorrow, Christmas Eve, I will also be here filling in for Roe. And then tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, it's the annual airing of our Bozo, Gar, and Ray WGN TV Classic Special on the Big Number 9. You can watch for that. 2 hours of great Chicago memories, followed by Midnight Mass on my favorite TV station, WGN TV. Joining us in studio today and here on CLTV, the host of Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, Chuck Koplinski and Pamela Powell, who write and talk about movies all the time. We're talking about all of the holiday movies that are opening on Christmas Day. We've covered Adam Sandler's new movie. We've covered this amazing 1917. Who liked The Little Women? I did.
I have been waiting to hear Pam's objections for I don't know how long.
Pam, I thought for sure this was going to be your kind of movie.
I wanted to be.
You're a woman. Just I know your sensibilities. I think I know things that you like and appreciate and admire.
Right.
And I thought, oh, Pam's going to love this movie.
Yeah, I wanted to. I feel like I'm the movie Scrooge right now. And it's Greta Gerwig, and I am a female, and I want to support female filmmakers, and this is all about women, obviously, the name, Little Women. And it just felt a little too Hallmarky for me. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just felt the it's been done how many times? Five times before? Four times before?
Right.
And I didn't find anything new with the subject matter, and I felt actually some of the messages were so antiquated that I wasn't behind it 100%. And the acting to me just felt so over the top, and I am so sorry that I am not loving this movie. I have such guilt being the movie Scrooge here. I really do. I wanted to love this, and I didn't. I did, however. I always like to have a positive note with everything that I don't love, and I loved Tracy Letts and Saoirse Ronan together.
Yeah.
I could have watched them have an interaction for the entire 2 hours of the movie. They
Chicago's own Tracy Letts from Steppenwolf.
Right. He's incredible.
A publisher. And Saoirse Ronan's character, a writer, trying to get her works published. But this is what you said that these are, you didn't really think that there's anything new. I don't know if I've seen all the Little Women. I've seen a couple of them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like there was a greater sense of female empowerment with some of the characters in this movie than other versions that I've seen in the past.
Good.
Almost like there was a very strong purpose. Like Greta Gerwig, the director, wanted to make sure that she stayed close to the original story, but make a couple of points that there's one line in the movie in particular that women are more for than just love and affection.
Right.
I'm a writer. I want to be a writer. I want to do something more.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful.
Yeah. But you still hate him.
I'm so sorry.
Scrooge. Bah humbug. Wow.
I know.
It was a gorgeous movie.
It was beautiful. Visually, it was really very beautiful.
And the color schemes and bringing... I'm really looking into it as much as I can hear people.
This is sounding like my review of Cats. They pointed the camera in the right direction. What did you like about it, Chuck?
I like that, and I also like that Gerwig messes with the chronology of it as well.
We see
Jo looking back and her perception of what her and her sisters were like as children is seen through her adult eyes.
Yes.
And I thought, it's been done so many times. How are you going to approach this in a different way? And she figured that out, and I thought it added a bit more new life to the story.
Yeah, I thought that I was missing something at first.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, why? Wait a minute. We just saw that, and why is she an adult now? And a second ago, she was a child. It's like, oh, she's doing two different time frames. It's bouncing back and forth.
It took me about a half hour.
I wound up really liking that.
Yeah.
And I think it kept my interest a little more for a story that has been around like 150 years, something
1868.
Like that. Right?
Yeah, Louisa May Alcott. And the time bouncing... I'm glad it took you 30 minutes to catch on to that, because I was struggling with that aspect. When are we? Where are we? Oh, Saoirse Ronan's hair is short, so now I know when I am. So I struggled with that as well. I guess I was just on the struggle bus. I'm going to be quiet now.
For everyone. Wow. Lump of
I'm
coal.
I'm sorry. Santa's not going to visit.
Anything else that you think is just really must see right now?
Must see right now. Bombshell. I really enjoyed Bombshell. I think it's got a great message to it, great information. And
it's
looking
the Charlize Theron, Megyn Kelly story, basically.
Right.
Gretchen Carlson. It's the story about sexual abuse at Fox News.
Right. Yeah. And I think it really lets you in to see what happens behind closed doors and why people reacted the way that they did. Makeup in that is incredible. These two characters, John Lithgow plays Roger Ailes and Charlize plays Megan, and they truly become their characters. I would highly recommend going to see that one as well.
Yeah, everybody's talking about this movie Parasite. Have you seen Parasite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you think? It's a Korean language film.
Right. I think it's a bit overrated. I liked it, but I'm not over the moon with it as far as everyone else is concerned. It certainly is timely. I love the story and the whole setup of it as far as the class warfare that they have going on. But by the end, it really takes a turn, it's needless to say. And I had a hard time with how this whole thing wraps up. But I know it's gaining a lot of momentum as far as Oscar talk and things like that are concerned.
It is. How about for you, Pam?
I liked it more after I had a chance to think about what I had seen. It does take that turn, which was a little disturbing to me. And again, I'm shocked that we agree on this aspect of it. But the end was a little bit too much for me. I did like all the different social messages that this film tackles, and in a very bold and entertaining way. I think I might have liked it a little bit more than you did, Chuck.
I think you did.
Yeah.
If Louisa May Alcott was Korean, would you still like it?
Well, actually, we were talking about maybe Little Women can go to Jumanji next.
Yeah.
So now we have a new theme.
Switch up
Jumanji.
The avatars.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Sing some songs from Cats.
And, there we go.
And now we've really got something. If people want to check out Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, what's the best way to do that?
Check us out on, we have a website, realtalkwithchuckandpam.com. You can also take a look at us on Facebook on Real Talk with Chuck and Pam.
And Chuck Kopunsky, where else can we read you? And
The Illinois Times out of Springfield and the News Gazette out of Champaign-Urbana.
And Pamela Powell, where can we read you?
FF2 Media, as well as The Daily Journal.
I love sharing thoughts and sharing opinions.
It's always fun.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you both.
Bah humbug. No, I'm kidding. Merry Christmas.
I am shocked that you did not like
it. I wanted to.
I would have bet money that you would have loved that movie.
I'm sorry.
Just never know. I love the diversity of opinions. That's what I love.